Well, very excited because I need some clarity. Joining us now, Panthers legend, good friend of the show, good friend of mine, Mike Rucker. Welcome to the show.
How you guys doing?
We're doing great. I was an English teacher for years. I was a writer. I was an editor. How come I can only come up with a single adjective to describe that game? And it was weird. Why was that game so weird?
I don't know, because I kind of understand what you're saying, because, you know, it's kind of going. I mean, you have a young quarterback for the Broncos that comes out and kind of throws some passes, and he kind of got in rhythm. And then, you know, both teams were running the ball, and you kind of look up and you're like, what just happened?
Yeah.
You know, and then it gets down to that fourth quarter, and it was just all over the board. So as a fan, obviously it was a good football game, but as a Panther fan, it's not the outcome that you are looking for.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the run defense was not great. Again, C.J. Anderson looked like a world beater. They gave up a touchdown to a guy who hadn't carried the ball since his, like, sophomore year in college. It was just – the whole thing was very strange. And as someone who was watching, supporting the Panthers, there were moments I was like, yeah, the Panthers look pretty good. And then I was like, wait a second. No, they don't. Where's this run defense? What's going on? And the hits that Cam was taking, I love the idea of – the offense trying to change the level of the ball during his dropbacks to get him to really stick to a 3- and 5-step drop and not drift back where guys like Von Miller could get to him. It looked like it was working, but the results just weren't there. What did we learn?
Well, I learned is this is one of 16 games, and you always want to start out fast. And you were kind of bobbing along, and things were – just okay. There wasn't a lot of flashes. I think they spread the ball around a little bit. I thought the offensive line did a pretty good job, especially early on, of protecting Cam and Cam getting the ball down the field. You know, Jonathan Stewart was active. So it just kind of comes back to like what just happened? You know, I mean, obviously games in this league are going to come down. The majority of them are going to come down to a field goal or so. And I think we always, as a ball player, you always know that. And so what you do is you either try to protect your lead or just stay within striking distance. And so that's what you saw at the end of this game. And but, yeah, I think that from the defensive perspective, it's kind of uncharacteristic to have a guy get those kind of running yards that C.J. Anderson had. And I think when they look at film, they're going to be like, okay, these are some run fits, you know, or not getting off blocks to allow him to get some big chunk plays, which allowed the pressure, I think, off of their young quarterback. And I think that's one area that you can look at. But again, at the end of the day, it's one of 16 games.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that maybe struck me about the run defense was, you know, as someone who – coach defense, I thought, and you played defense, I thought, okay, I'm going to take the runaway and make this young quarterback from Northwestern who hasn't thrown a pass in 2.5 years beat us. And yet it was the run game that seemed porous. And something's missing.
Yeah, you know, the ironic thing is, not, I don't have the stats in front of me, but they came out, usually when you have a young quarterback or someone new, is that, you know, you try to get that run game going to take the pressure off of them. And believe it or not, they came out throwing the ball.
Right.
And you got to give that young guy some credit, because he threw some nice passes early on that I think built his confidence that he could play in this game. And then they gave the ball to C.J. Anderson and allowed him to use his talents. At the end of the day, I think there was just too many big plays in the running game. We're always taught that you stop the run and then you react and go attack the pass. And you try to make a team one-dimensional. But when a team can throw and run the ball, it makes it tough on you as a defense, because now they're kind of having their will of what they want to do. So that is definitely uncharacteristic of this defense, you know, in the run game.
All right, well, we're talking to Panthers legend Mike Rucker. And before we turn our attention to those other 15 games that they have to play before the playoffs, where do you come down on this all of the hits on Cam, and whether the officials did a good job, did a bad job, they don't protect him enough, they treat him differently because he's a running quarterback? Where do you come down on all that? It seems to be the scuttlebutt, and I have to give Cam credit. He handled it really well. He said, hey, I like this officiating crew. and you live with that. He let his teammates and to some extent other people in the media do his bidding for him, which was the sign, I think, of a maturing version of him. But where do you come down on it?
Well, I do think that he handled it in a good way. And, you know, life is about learning and learning from your mistakes. And so there was a lot of last year, a lot of, you know, questions and this and that about, you know, how he handled some stuff. So you got to tip your hat off on how he handled that, because he probably had an opportunity and a stage to present a different front, and he didn't do that. So tip your hat off there. As far as the calls, And some of the hits and stuff like that, you can find that everywhere. You know, I think that you can find a play that you can really, really blow up and still pictures. There's a lot of still pictures that you see, and it really makes it look really bad. But there were a couple helmets where a guy was launching that you could look at and say, look, you know, he should have been called for that. And I think that the league will review those plays. Just because you didn't get called in the game, you will still get a FedEx envelope that will deduct something out of that paycheck. So you don't necessarily totally get scot-free away from some of those things. But there were some calls that you're like, wow, like normally – you know, as defensive guys, you're like, we're going to get called for that. And you're just waiting, looking for that flag to come out, and it doesn't come out. So there's definitely some hits. And I definitely think that because he is a big guy, because he is, you know, 6'5 and 250 pounds, that he doesn't look like, you know, another guy that might not be as big. And so is treated sometimes a little bit different because he can run, he can't take the hits.
Yeah, and what happened, you know, with Cam kind of overshadowed a lot of other things that happened on the field on Thursday night. One of the things that we looked at all offseason was the return of Kelvin Benjamin and what he was going to mean to this offense. He had 6 catches, 91 yards, a touchdown. He looked like a big threat for Cam in that game. What did you see from Benjamin in his first game back?
Exactly. Kind of, you know, he kind of picked up where he left off, you know, 2 years ago. And, you know, Kelvin was, this was like a quiet, almost 100 yards, a quiet one. But when you look at the stats, the ball was kind of spread around a little bit. And, you know, it was one of those games. I mean, we talked about it being just different because, you know, you get over 100 yards rushing, you know, you get your receivers involved, and you look up and you didn't win the ball game, you know. But I think for Kelvin, I think there was a lot of questions answered, you know, getting him back into game shape, being in Mile High, getting him active early in the ball game, and they did that. So I think that his confidence will continue to build as he's playing on that, you know, repaired knee. And I just think that we don't need to rush and get all panicky because of one game. This is one game that you felt like, hey, this could be that game that you get, you know, you get your get back and you get back on track and you start fast. But there's some teams out there that have not had good preseason and got into this and won the Super Bowl. There's teams that have started fast and fell flat on their face. So, you know, week one, yes, you want to win it, but it is one of 16. And we also got to remember as fans that what happened last year was just so crazy that I think mentally we think that it's just going to happen again. And that is hard work. What you got to understand is every team out there is going to be trying to beat this Panther defending NFC champ because of what they have done. And if you could put a feather in your hat by beating them, so you're going to get the best. So the Panthers have a bullseye on their back, especially in the NFC, because of what they have accomplished over the last 3 to 4 years. So you're going to get everybody's best now. And so that, you know, this team is going to be okay.
All right, well, we're going to continue to use my limited vocabulary, and we're going to call that one weird, and we're going to put it aside, put it in a box. It's game one. It's over. As we look forward, even to the rest of this weekend, I mentioned earlier in the show, I'm really interested in this Falcons-Bucks game. Two teams the Panthers are going to have to play twice. I don't know if I believe the hype that these guys are back and that Jameis Winston's the next big thing and that Matty Ice is going to be healthy and happy and his two receivers are going to make a huge difference. That's a game I'm looking at this weekend that's important. And as you look at the rest of this schedule with the 49ers, the Vikings, and they do get into the Falcons, Bucks, Saints, Cardinals, where do you see as the next sort of games with which you know, that the Panthers can approach and as games that could decide their fate?
Well, I tell you what, one of the things that I think people look at, well, as a player, what we do as soon as the schedule comes out, all right, you look and first thing you say is, okay, what televised games do we have? Okay.
Right.
And then once you see that, then you're like, all right, what games are played in hot areas and what games are played in the cold? Right. You know, do we go to Tampa in you know, early in the season, or do we go to Buffalo in December? That's your second thing. And then the third thing is you break down the games in quarters and you look at who do you have in those first week one and who you have in week two and three and four. So that's how we break up the schedules in quarters. First quarter, second quarter, third and fourth. And what you have to be careful of is early on, that team that you might have, you know, dropped one to can come back and bite you in December. And it's happened to me before. It happens a lot. And so when you look at this schedule, I say the next one is going to be next week. You know, yeah. I think that you have to, especially, you know, NFC game, you have to make sure that you protect. If you're losing, you want to lose those to the AFC. You don't want to lose the NFC, and you don't want to lose inside your division.
Yeah.
Because those are the ones that are going to count come December. There's times where, you know, teams might come in head-to-head tiebreakers, and they're going to say, okay, well, how many NFC losses do you have? How many AFC losses? It happens. And so I would say that next important game is going to be next week. How do you rebound, and how do you get back on the horse?
Yeah, and it's a home game, so that's even better. So, all right. Well, Mike, as always, we appreciate your insight. We appreciate your time, and thank you for joining us.
Always good to be with you guys.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.